We've been taught ever since our Bible class days that of the story of Zacchaeus. But there's more to the story of Zacchaeus than Jesus finding an admirer in a tree. In Luke chapter 19 and verses 9 and 10, we read, "Today salvation has come to this house. The Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." That's what this story is about. It's about salvation coming to a house, a house. Jesus came to seek and save all the lost. But we see Him here focusing upon one particular individual in one particular town. Salvation comes with Jesus. Jesus said, "I came to seek and to save the lost." Why was He born? Why did He die? For the same reason, to seek and to save the lost. However, not every visit of Jesus results in salvation. I think that's something that you and I need to recognize. Jesus came to save everyone. God's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Here you have the very Word of God in the flesh, speaking the Word of God, speaking the words of salvation. No one could say it any better than Him. No one could say it with a better attitude than He could. He knew the hearts of the people that He was speaking to. He knew how to reach them and to touch them. And in spite of all of that, not everyone He spoke to turned to Him and accepted the salvation that He offered. That's going to be the case with you. Even if you know how to answer everyone for the reason of the hope that is within you with meekness and fear, not everyone that you answer is going to obey the gospel. Why is that? On numerous occasions, people rejected Jesus and His salvation. So what made Zacchaeus different? Why did salvation come on this occasion when it didn't come on others? We recognize here that both God and man play a part in salvation. We are saved by grace through faith. It's the grace of God that brings salvation. It's our response to that grace in faith, hearing, trusting, and obeying Him that completes this desire of God of our salvation. God has done His part, but He is powerless to save those who won't do their part. He is powerless to those who refuse to hear. He is powerless to refuse to save those who refuse to obey. Notice what Zacchaeus was willing to do. Why had salvation come to this house? Salvation came to this house because Jesus had come, but salvation came to this house also because of what Zacchaeus was willing to do. So we come back again to Luke 19 and the first 10 verses. We see here through verse 4, it says, "Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. Now behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, who was a tax collector, and he was rich. And he sought to see who Jesus was, but could not because of the crowd, for he was short in stature. So he ran ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see Him, for he was going to pass by that way." Zacchaeus, we're told, was a tax collector. He was a chief tax collector. He was a tax collector of tax collectors. Tax collectors had to answer to him. He had tax collectors underneath him. He was a chief tax collector. He was a rich man. Now, as you and I look at that, we say, well, he was a pretty important man then. He was a rich man. But if you lived in this day and time, you realize that the Jews hated the tax collectors. They hated being under Roman supervision and Roman rule. They hated the fact that they had to pay taxes to the Roman Empire. They hated all of that. They hated the fact that they had to pay taxes, the fact that they had to pay taxes to Rome, and the fact that, these tax collectors just pretty much did what they wanted to do. There was the part that they had, that they were responsible for getting to Rome, and then there was their part. A lot of times they would overtax people and overcharge people. And the Jews were well aware of that. Was Zacchaeus like that? I don't know. I'm not sure. But here's something else that we notice about Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus sought, in other words, he was determined to see Jesus. Jesus came to Jericho, and Zacchaeus lived in Jericho. You know, every once in a while you might hear of a particular performing artist that's coming to Bowling Green to perhaps perform at the Southern Kentucky Theater down here, or Sky Pack, or wherever it might be. And it might be someone that you are fond of and say, wow, they're coming here. I just have to go see them. And you'll rearrange your schedule and arrange your finances so that you can go do that. That's kind of like what Zacchaeus was doing here. Zacchaeus was determined to see Jesus regardless of what he had to do. Here's a chief tax collector who climbs up in, a rich man who climbs up in a sycamore tree. It's kind of a demeaning thing to do, isn't it? A humble thing to do. But he was willing to do whatever he needed to do just to put his eyes on Jesus. In Luke 11, verses 9 through 10, Jesus said, I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and everyone who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, it will be open. How many people show the same determination to find Jesus today? That's really what Zacchaeus is expressing here when he climbs up in this sycamore tree so that he can just see with his own eyes this Jesus of Nazareth who everybody was talking about. The things that he was saying was different than what the Mosaic Law said. The miracles that he was performing were leaving people in awe of him. Zacchaeus had to see Jesus. He just had to do it. He was determined to do it. And it was this determination to see Jesus that led him to the salvation that Jesus was bringing with him. People have to have this same determination. You know, you just don't haphazardly fall into salvation. It's something you have to be looking for. It's something you have to be aware of that you need. Salvation comes to those who are seeking Jesus. We continue with verse 5 of Luke chapter 19. It says, and when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said to him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must stay at your house. So he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. But when they, the people, the townspeople, saw it, they all complained, saying, he has gone to be a guest with a man who is a sinner. Well, how did they know Zacchaeus was a sinner? Was Zacchaeus any more of a sinner than the rest of them were? No. But because he was a tax collector, automatically he was, in the classification of the Jews, he was a sinner of sinners. Not only was he a tax collector of tax collectors, that made him a sinner of sinners. Salvation comes to those who receive Jesus and his teaching joyfully. Notice here in verse 6 that Zacchaeus made haste and came down and received him, received Jesus joyfully. He was anxious to see Jesus, and when he received Jesus, he received him joyfully. Zacchaeus would learn that something was wrong in his life. Perhaps he already perceived that there was something missing in his life. Here's a man of great power in Jericho. Jericho wasn't a very big town. It is very, very small, actually. You walk from one end to the other end in 15 or 20 minutes, probably, if you were in a hurry. But everybody knew Zacchaeus, and Zacchaeus knew everybody in town. They knew he was an important man. They knew he was a rich man. All the people must be convicted of their sin and repent. You know, you can perceive that you're not right with God, but you don't know exactly why you have that perception until the Word of God convicts you and shows you exactly where you're wrong. Just the fact that you don't believe in Jesus, just the fact that you're not allied with God should convict you of the fact that you need to make changes in your life. Jesus said, you're either for me or against me. You're either with me or you're against me. What about you, friend? Are you with Jesus or are you against Him? People must be convicted of their sin if they're going to repent. In Romans 3:23, of course, we recognize that we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. We were created in the image of God to reflect the glory of God in our life, but we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. Luke 13, verses 3 and 5, Jesus made it plain, unless you repent, you will perish. Unless you turn from your way to follow me, you will perish. Salvation comes to those who receive Jesus and His teaching joyfully. Zacchaeus received Jesus joyfully. As we continue reading here in verse 8 now of Luke chapter 19, it says, then Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, look, Lord, I give half of my goods to the poor. And if I have taken anything from anyone by false accusation, I restore fourfold. And Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to this house because he is also a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Now, you and I need to recognize that as we're reading this, these paragraphs go together. You know, verse 8 doesn't all of a sudden just start talking about something different. The conversation that takes place in verse 8 between Jesus and Zacchaeus, and then Jesus, the statement that Jesus makes, is really in response to this accusation of the townspeople. Look, he is going to be a guest of a man who is a sinner. Here's this holy, pure, righteous, sinless man who is now going in with a sinner of sinners to be a guest in his house, to sit down and eat meat with him. That's the charge. Doesn't this holy, pure man who claims to be the Son of God, doesn't he recognize that this is one of the worst of sinners that there is? And in response to that, Zacchaeus says, look, I'm a rich man, but I'm not a selfish man. I give half of my goods to the poor. Bruce and I were doing a project earlier this week, and I had watched the Dolly Parton telethon, or at least a portion of it, that Tuesday evening, and had heard on the radio the following day about different country artists who had pledged $100,000 of their own money towards helping those people down there and that were victims of that fire. You know, I told Bruce, I said, I don't care if you are a millionaire, $100,000 is a lot of money. And they're to be commended for that. Zacchaeus says, I'm a rich man, but I give half of my goods to the poor. And then he also says, and if I have taken anything from anyone by false accusation, I restore fourfold. That's an interesting statement. I believe that Zacchaeus here is being honest in what he's saying. He's not saying, if I become aware of it or if I have done this. He's just saying, you know, mistakes happen. I don't think he's saying that he intentionally has defrauded anyone. But sometimes you make mistakes. I hardly ever have anybody do my taxes. I usually do it myself. And this past year, I had a pretty well-known tax company do my taxes. And I had to pay more taxes this year than I've ever had to pay. I said, well, maybe I've been doing it wrong. And then a couple months later, you get a notice from the IRS and from the Kentucky IRS, and they say, we owe you a refund of $700. And I said, yeah, that's what I kind of thought. Now, that wasn't intentional on the person's part that did my taxes, but I don't care how much of a professional you are, you can make mistakes. And I think what Zacchaeus is saying, I realize I can make mistakes, and when I find out I've made a mistake, I make it right. Not only I just don't give people back their money, I give four times that much. It'd be kind of nice if, well, that's another story. But his "if" is not an expression of doubt. He knows that he has defrauded people. And in those cases, he will restore. And I believe what he is saying, I have restored fourfold. So here's a man who, when he realizes that he's wrong, he repents and he makes it right. Well, now he recognizes that he's wrong in the sight of God. And he's going to repent. He's going to make it right. It's impossible to repent of a sin that we refuse to own. And I think that sometimes people look at this statement of Zacchaeus when he says, if I have taken anything from anyone. I've read comments to the effect that, you know, Maybe Zacchaeus really isn't owning this fault and this defrauding. I don't think that's the case. But I think people do that. You hear people demanding an apology from someone. And in meeting their demands, they say, well, if I've done anything wrong, I apologize. That's not really an apology, is it? You have to admit that you're wrong. If I've done anything wrong, I apologize. No. If you've done something wrong, you need to sincerely apologize. And if you haven't done anything wrong, don't apologize for it. Some people act that way and play that game with God. Well, if I've sinned, then I'm sorry that I've sinned. Well, you sinned. If I'm on the wrong side of God, then I'm sorry. You're on the wrong side of God. If you haven't been baptized for the remission of your sins and following Christ in your life, you're on the wrong side of God. There isn't any question about that. And there shouldn't be any question in your mind about that. People find it hard to admit their sin. People find it hard to say, I'm wrong. Even when it's for their own good and to be made right. People often blame someone else for their sin. Well, you know, I know that I'm wrong, but, you know, this person over here, maybe it's a parent, maybe it's a member of the church, maybe it's whoever it is. You know, they're not right either, and they've made me feel bad. Or, you know, you can always try to put your wrong onto somebody else. And you, what you're saying might even be true, but it doesn't make you any more innocent. You recognize that you're wrong, you need to make it right with God. Salvation comes to those who confess their sins, not deny or excuse them. So many times we justify our sins. We excuse our sins. We deny that we're a sinner or we're any worse sinner than anybody else. Well, everybody knows you're not any worse sinner than anybody else. You need to recognize you're not any worse sinner than anybody else. But all sinners can be saved. Zacchaeus was going to be saved. Salvation had come to his house this day. So, salvation comes to those who are willing to confess their sins. You know, you're studying with someone and maybe they're practicing a false doctrine. They're not willing to admit that it's a false doctrine. You show them clearly that it's a false doctrine. Can you imagine what it was like? And, you know, we've just finished this study of Galatians and the Judaizing teachers and how that they had perverted the gospel of Christ. Can you imagine them continuing in their false doctrine after receiving that letter? And yet many of them did. No doubt many of them did. When they would be totally without excuse for doing so. We need to be willing to confess our wrongs and confess that we're wrong and to acknowledge that God is true. In Acts 17 and verse 30, we read, "Truly, these times of ignorance God overlooked, but now commands all men everywhere to repent." He doesn't suggest it. He doesn't say this is something you ought to do. He commands all men, all mankind, all people, male or female, to repent, to turn around. Except you repent, you will likewise perish. Zacchaeus was willing to turn around. Notice again the latter part of verse 7, the charge of the townspeople. He has gone to be a guest with a man who is a sinner. Yes, he did. But notice that Jesus said he is also a son of Abraham. He's a son of Abraham. And so what was the benefit of that? Well, through Abraham's seed, all nations would be blessed. And certainly, he was of the nation of Abraham. He could be blessed. Just as they were sons of Abraham. They were children of Abraham. So was Zacchaeus. Doesn't matter what you think he's done. It doesn't matter what he has done. It doesn't matter what sin he has committed. It can be forgiven because salvation has come to this house today. It doesn't matter what sin you've done. If you're willing to turn from it, if you acknowledge it and turn from it and to follow him, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter with Zacchaeus and it doesn't matter with any of you, is what Jesus is saying. Salvation has come to this house. It's what I'm all about. I bring salvation with me. To any who will believe and repent and follow me. The Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. And the sons of Abraham are lost. Yeah, Zacchaeus is lost. He's a sinner, but you're all sinners. He's also a son of Abraham. You're all sons of Abraham. And you're all lost. I've come to seek and to save everyone who's lost. Including Zacchaeus. And so, salvation has come to this house. Jesus has salvation. He can give it. But people have to respond. Zacchaeus responded. He was seeking Jesus. He was seeking Jesus. He was determined to see Jesus. And his determination led to a benefit beyond his imagination, that Jesus wanted to come to his house and stay with him. Salvation comes to those who receive Jesus and his teaching joyfully. Zacchaeus received Jesus joyfully. Zacchaeus, come down here. I'm going to stay with you today. He was thrilled. Didn't matter what the house looked like or You know, I don't know if Zacchaeus was married or not. But he was thrilled that Jesus wanted to come to his house. And he readily invited him to come in. He was ready to hear what Jesus had to say to him. Salvation comes to those who confess their sins, not deny or excuse them. And I believe, you know, what Zacchaeus is saying here, you know, people assume because I'm a rich man, I'm a selfish man. I'm not a selfish man. I'm not an unfair man. If I realize I've defrauded somebody, I make it right with them fourfold. Don't just restore what I took from them erroneously or defrauded them, but I restore it fourfold. He is ready to confess and to repent. Jesus comes to save all who have sinned, regardless of what we have done. Friends, I don't care what you've done tonight. Jesus doesn't care what you've done. Any sin separates us from God. And you realize that. God recognizes that. But God doesn't want us to remain separated from Him. That's why He sent His Son to die on our behalf, to pay the price for our sin. Salvation has come to this house. Those who joyfully receive Him no longer have to identify themselves by what they were, but now are identified as a follower of Christ. Abraham, or Zacchaeus here, would no longer be identified as a chief tax collector, one of the sons of Abraham. He would be recognized as one who followed Christ, a disciple. At this particular time, they were known as disciples. The disciples would be called Christians first at Antioch. But he was going to be a disciple of Christ, a learner of Christ from this day forward. Jesus said to all those who believed on Him, "Continue in My Word, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free." Continue in My Word, you will be a true disciple, My true disciple. So friend, it doesn't matter what you've done. It matters what you want to do. It matters which direction you want to take from here on out in your life. Are you going to continue to be separated from Jesus? Or are you going to turn to Him? Turn from your sin, turn from you to live for Him. Joyfully receive Him and accept the salvation that He freely offers to you. And follow Him, learn of Him, and live for Him from this day forward. We would hope that you would do that. Today, salvation has come to this house. I just want you to think about it. Even though I think at this particular point, Jesus is speaking to the townspeople who accused Zacchaeus of being a sinner. And in speaking to them, He says, "Salvation has come to this house." And there's Zacchaeus. Wow. Wow. Salvation has come to this house. You know, even though Zacchaeus knew that he was, you know, in his estimation of himself, you know, comparing himself against many of these townspeople who accused him, he says, I'm a lot better than they are. I give half of my goods to the poor. I've done somebody wrong. I restore it four times. There's not a one of these people to do that, regardless of how much money they have. Or how much wrong they've done to somebody. There's not, you know, really he was saying that. Not a one. But he wasn't justifying himself. He wasn't justifying himself. He realized he needed salvation. He realized he needed to be right with God. And when those words came from the mouth of Jesus, salvation has come to this house. Can you imagine how Zacchaeus felt? He was eager to hear more of what Jesus had to say. I guarantee you. You're in the house of the Lord today. Salvation has come to this house in this hour. Because Jesus, the words of Jesus, Jesus is the Word of God, and His words are being spoken today. I mean, salvation is offered to you through Jesus Christ, just as that salvation was offered to Zacchaeus and the people of Jericho. It's interesting that it's Zacchaeus who's the one who's doing his part to complete that salvation process. He is the one who is seeking Jesus. He is the one who joyfully receives Jesus. He is the one who confesses his sins and turns to Him. What about you, my friend? Will you do what Zacchaeus did? Will you complete the salvation that Jesus came, that He wants for you? He's not willing that any one of us should perish, but that every one of us should be saved. It's your decision. Will you come to Him and joyfully receive Him this very evening? We encourage you to come as we stand and sing this song.